A leading tour operator says the Gulf War could revive the Caribbean's tourism industry. Cuba signs a new trade agreement with the Soviet Union, reflecting the change in a 25-year relationship. And St. Vincent and the Grenadines unwittingly enters the pages of history. I'm Hugh Crosskill, and this is BBC Caribbean Report. Hundreds of Jamaicans marched through the streets of Kingston yesterday calling for peace in the Gulf. The march was organized by the Jamaica Council of Churches as part of its annual week of prayer for Christian unity. Using radio call-in programs as a gauge, observers in Jamaica say there appears to be a steady shift in public opinion away from support of the U.S.-led forces in the Gulf. They are apparently being increasingly viewed as the aggressors. And Jamaica's energy minister says consumers will not benefit from a reduction in oil prices until after existing stocks have been used up. Mr. Horace Clark says in the meantime, government's ability to pay for oil imports is being hampered by a 12% fall-off in winter tourist arrivals.
And therefore, where we were looking for foreign exchange from tourism to purchase oil, this is down, so we have to watch it very carefully. If it goes to 40 and 45, believe you me, unless we would have had so much accommodation from the San Jose Accord and hopefully could assistance from Trinidad, the economy would be a disaster.
Jamaica's Energy Minister Horace Clark. Even before the first shot was fired in the Gulf, Caribbean tourism was feeling the pinch. Tourist boards across the region were reporting depressingly low occupancy rates for the winter season. With the economies of the United States and Europe in recession, people were being forced to forgo or to scale down their annual holidays. However, now that the war is on in the Gulf, Caribbean tourism could be in for an unexpected boost. That's the view of David Hamlet of Hayes & Jarvis, one of the biggest tour operators in Britain. I asked him if potential tourists were likely to shun air travel for fear of terrorist attacks.
I think the airlines have certainly made every effort to ensure that airport security is at a very high level. Otherwise, they would no doubt not be operating to these destinations. And as a result of the situation in the Gulf, many carriers to Far East destinations are rerouting to avoid the area of conflict. But I feel that most people will perhaps review where they propose to visit this coming winter season. And I would feel that the majority of people would feel it safe to travel westbound, irrespective of the carrier they're using.
So do you think the Caribbean should be sort of looking at a campaign now, an advertising campaign that says, well, traditional holidays to parts of Europe and even to the Middle East and the Far East, maybe not on now, but the Caribbean is nice and safe?
It's difficult to say. We certainly have been able to negotiate better rates with Caribbean hoteliers for the immediate future, not so much as a result of the Gulf crisis, but as a result of the recession, especially, of course, as people, I am sure, will wish to continue with their holiday plans. The question is whether they would prefer to travel eastbound or westbound, and negotiating rates will make the Caribbean more affordable during the peak winter period.
But, of course, it would mean that overall tourism earnings in the Caribbean would go down if they make these concessions.
Possibly, but I think given the current economic climate, we are all having to reduce our profit margins in order to stimulate interest to the regions that we're dealing with.
Mr. David Hamlet of Hayes & Jarvis, one of the largest tour operators in Britain. Cuba has signed a new trade agreement with the Soviet Union, the terms of which are likely to lead to a decline in trade between the two countries. Over the past quarter of a century, the Cuban economy has relied heavily on trade with the Communist bloc and the Soviet Union in particular. The political changes in Eastern Europe and President Gorbachev's policies of perestroika have knocked the bottom out of Cuba's traditional trade relations. As Lionel Martin reports from Havana, while the Cuban government will be pleased to have a new trade agreement with the Soviets, the special benefits of the past have all but disappeared.
For one thing, instead of a five-year agreement, this one is for a single year, 1991. It is called a transitional agreement, which has some elements of the old way of doing things and many new elements. For instance, the Soviet Union will continue to pay Cuba a preferential price for the 4 million tons of raw sugar it expects to buy. But that preferential price will be much less than the 4 or 5 times the world price that the Soviets paid for Cuban sugar in the past. A degree of barter will remain as before. That is, the sale of sugar to the Soviet Union will be used to pay for the 10 million tons of oil that Cuba expects to import at world market prices. As before, many of the major products will be sold by the Soviet central government. This means that Cuba will sign contracts with President Gorbachev's government for such important items as oil, fertilizers, grain, sulfur, and food. This centralization will make things a lot easier for the Cubans, but